This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors that have been passed on to you from generations past and from our dominant culture and start parenting with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out the last episode of the Family Culture Movement with Tracy Bierman, where we talked about how to get away from this badge of honor around busyness. Hey, Family Culture Hackers, I'm excited to welcome to the podcast Sandra Etherington. Sandra, I'm really excited. I've had her on the podcast before, so I'm excited to welcome her back. Sandra is a mom of a five-year-old and an eight-year-old. She is the owner of Family Personalities and the co-host of the Family Personalities podcast, a fun and sometimes cheesy podcast that uses personality type to help change the way you see your family. Sandra uses her experience and training in Myers-Briggs personality type to work one-on-one with families, helping them parent more effectively and peacefully based on their children's unique wiring and needs. Welcome to the show again, Sandra.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back.
I'm really excited to have this conversation and talking about personalities and the introvert extrovert dynamic of our families and things like that. But before we go into it, I like to ask my icebreaker question, which is, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I wanted to be a teacher.
Awesome.
A math teacher specifically. Oh, like I always, whenever I played with my friends, I would always want to be a teacher, and my friends would start to get like, they'd be like, I'm in school all day. Why? I would like make actual tests, like spelling tests, and then like grade them. And my friends are like, this is not fun. Like I do this at school.
This at all. Yeah. So how did that desire like shape who you've become?
Oh man. You know, because I liked math in, you know, junior high, high school. And so that's what I chose to teach. And so I ended up majoring in mathematics in college. And I think that was an interesting choice for me. Like I love math, but going to that deep level of it in college and doing like the upper division math courses was like really stretched my brain in a way that probably is not my natural talent. And so I do think it probably changed my brain and the way I think somewhat. I did earn a teaching credential. And then, I don't know, there's a whole like up and down to my career and uh-huh. back and forth. And I did some student teaching, but I never actually became a teacher, though it's still in my back pocket should I ever want to go back to that. I think that once I had kids, I just realized like we're talking about introversion, extroversion today. Mm-hmm. And I am someone who prefers introversion. And I just knew at the end of a school day, I would be so drained from standing up and interacting with kids all day long that I would have no energy left for my own kids.
Yeah.
And so ultimately that's why I'm not doing it now. However, maybe in the future, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's great that you were able to learn that about yourself in that process of studying and expanding your knowledge and then finding out, oh, wait, this is not what I want to do, but that right now, but that's great that you were able to figure that out and learn that about yourself. So that's awesome. Awesome. So speaking of introvert, extrovert and going into the theme of my podcast is, you know, understanding what are the generally accepted norms and customs of our society that ultimately end up being kind of damaging to our society. And so what is it about our society and dominant culture you feel like is dysfunctional that you want to talk about today?
Yeah. So I think I would love to talk about introversion and extroversion today. And Myers-Briggs personality type it's denoted by four letters and it has kind of, I'm all like playing with my, my hairband. I'm always fidgeting and I have to have something I don't play with the mic cord because then it's like pop, pop, pop. So there's four different dichotomies in Myers-Briggs and it's denoted by four letters. And the very first one deals with introversion and extroversion. And our society has with all of the four, there is a bent in our society mm-hmm. towards one letter or the other. And just in case people are curious, before we dive into introversion and extroversion, in the American culture anyway, and it's probably different in different cultures, but the type that is the most rewarded and pushed towards is E for extroversion, S for sensing, T for thinking, and J for judging. Mm-hmm. And if you fall out of that, if you're different from that, we can get the message that we're lesser than, right? And so today I wanted to go into introversion and extroversion and the definite dominant culture in Western culture anyway, is extroversion. That's what's rewarded. That's what's seen as, like, you know, stronger and more capable and whatever else. And introversion is seen oftentimes as a flaw or as weaker.
Yes. Yes. I see that all the time. And I, for a season of my life, like, I think that I lean towards introversion. When I was a kid, I was super shy. I never wanted to engage with other kids or do stuff. I had like one friend all of my life, right? And then I went through a season where it was like, no, I kind of like this. I kind of like the praise of like being showy and, you know, starting to be the center of attention or being funny or things like that. And now that I'm grown up, I'm just like, yeah, I don't need that. And I really love this just one-on-one interaction. I like, you know, being able to just settle into a quiet evening or things like that. So, but where do you see that? Why do you see that happening in our society that extroversion is like praised more, or it's seen as like a superior personality in the sense? Why is that happening?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it is louder. That's for sure.
Maybe that's it.
you know, it just has a tendency to dominate, and you are heard more if you are someone who prefers extroversion. There's an actual difference in the brain between introversion and extroversion. And there's a professor at UCLA named Dario Nardi, who actually did a bunch of studies on our brain wiring using EEG scans to watch people's brain activity through their neocortex, and observed the differences in how people's brains work based on their Myers-Briggs preferences. And in introversion and extroversion, the difference that you see is that when an input comes in, so like, you know, someone says something or there's a sound or whatever, when that input goes into the brain, there's the front of your neocortex and there's the back of the neocortex. The front of the neocortex like acts more. So they're like making decisions.
Right.
that part of your brain.
Okay.
It's like making decisions. It's deciding. It's acting. The back is reflecting. It's thinking. It's comparing to past experiences. And you see with extroverts that when an input comes in, it goes directly to the front. And so that acting, that thinking, that speaking, that comes right away. Whereas with introverts, the input goes to the back first, and we think and we reflect, and then it comes to the front to decide or to act. And that's not that extroverts do use the back of their brain too. And you know, it's the difference isn't like 90% front, 10% back or anything like that. It's just, right, there's a pattern of that the front gets activated first for extroverts. So you're going to see that action right away, that talking right away. And that just dominates. And you know, I mean, it kind of is what it is.
So it's not necessarily that they're louder, that they as often as they speak first also. So it's like both, maybe both of those things, where introvert maybe pauses and observes and analyzes, and extrovert just like, let's talk this out. Let's do like, wait, what?
Interesting. Right. Or like, I have an opinion right now that I haven't thought through yet, but it's louder and it's more immediate.
Wow. And so they get the attention, they get the reward of getting the reaction or things like that from people. And so it just, you notice them more.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And I think it makes them come off as more confident. It makes, you know, I mean, I, for one, when someone's like, I know what to do, but, and they take off, I'm like, okay, we have someone to follow. You know what I mean? Like it gives you this sort of comfort to see someone else who seems like they know what they're doing and they're ready to just go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interesting. So what does that end up looking like in our homes?
So when you have, you know, an imbalance in that, you can have one child that, you know, maybe dominates the conversation over another. You can have different ways that family prefers to spend their time, as far as one kid needs or one parent needs a lot of stimulation and a lot of activity and a lot of social time, whereas maybe another member of the family needs a lot less, needs a lot more time to themselves, needs more downtime, that sort of thing.
Wow. And so it's harder to sometimes acknowledge the needs of the child that wants the quiet if there's somebody in the home that wants it loud. And do you ever see kids who are maybe have a tendency for introversion feel like they have to compete with the extrovert kids and feel like they try to get louder to try to compete with what's going on in the extroversion side?
Yeah, I think you can see kind of both ways, depending on the kid and depending on the overall family culture.
Right.
You could either see, you know, trying to compete for or having to constantly, if both parents are extroverted too, or the dominant, you know, whatever parent takes on the most of the childcare, it has a preference for extroversion. Like my mom has a preference for extroversion. You can find that they are thrown into living an extroverted lifestyle, which I certainly was. And I don't necessarily wouldn't go back and take away any of the activities I was involved in, but it was like every day there was some activity we were going to. And it was just like, my life was very full because that's what brought my mom happiness and joy. And she thought my child must need to do all this stuff too. Mm. And I remember in high school, it was like around my maybe sophomore year of high school. And I did not have the words to put to it yet, but I started to understand my own need for downtime and my own need to not be involved in so many things and always be going and moving and interacting with my outer world. And my mom got really worried because I started quitting things. I wasn't quitting everything. I was involved in a lot of things, but I started quitting of some things and just like narrow it down. And my mom she wanted to let me lead my own life, but she was so worried. She thought something was wrong because for her, that would mean something was wrong. Right. For me, it was like, I was finally finding myself and that what I need is fewer things to focus on.
Wow. Okay. So that sounds like a really good example of like, if you're an extroverted parent and you have an introverted child, to recognize you have different needs and to acknowledge and allow your introverted child to allow those needs and provide opportunity for those needs. What would it look like in the inverse if you're an introvert parent with an extroverted child?
Oh man, I'm sorry. If you want to, I'm just kidding.
That's me.
Your child's probably just going to need a lot more activity and interaction than is comfortable for you. And we're actually an entire family in my household. We are an entire family of people who prefer introversion, and that makes it kind of easy. Mm-hmm. But I do have a stepdaughter who comes to visit from time to time. She's 15 and she has a preference for extroversion. And I remember when she first, you know, started coming and doing extended stays with us, I was just like, so caught off guard because I would have all these things planned. She's only here for a week. We're going to go do this on Monday and this on Tuesday and this on Wednesday. And we go and have this whole beach outing. And I had like a baby and a toddler. And it was like this big deal to get out of the house and go to the beach. And we get back at like 2:00 and be like, oh, okay. And she'd be like, what are we doing next? Like, are you kidding me? Like that was it. Yeah. That's usually it for the month. Need more today. Yeah. There's just a different, it's hard to meet their needs for either. And there's different types of extroversion. There's different types of introversion, which we probably won't really have time to get into today, but her type of extroversion is like very like doing things, like very activity and like sensation based. And for other kids, it's more like interaction. Like they need that social interaction. And so you might have a kid who just wants you to talk with them all the time. And that can get very tiring.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when we were living in Northern Virginia and it's really busy population wise there around Washington, D.C. and stuff like that. And so just to get somewhere was a chore. And then to get there and there's a ton of people. So I got to this point where I was like, I would do that where I would plan things all the time because my daughter is super outgoing, you know, and she always wanted to do like, when are we going to go to the park today, mom? Or like, you know, who can we call today to get together with? And I'm just like, I can do one thing today. Okay. Yeah. Like, not only am I lugging little kids around and braving the traffic and all the crowds and stuff like that, I was like, we can do one thing because by the time we get home, I'm like, I'm done. This is it. We're going to unwind. And I also found that a lot of times when we come home, my other kids that aren't, you know, I do have the mix, you know, and so they would just like unload whenever we would go through a day of or an outing, you know, they just started to tantrum or like just, you know, starting to need to like calmly make the transition to come home when they wanted to bounce, my one kid wants to bounce off the wall. The other is like, I'm done, you know? And yeah. So I could see like trying to balance those was, it was kind of challenging, you know, yeah. just trying to see what that would look like. And so I just started to really adopt more of a, okay, we're transitioning from activity to activity. Let's pause. Mm-hmm. Let's honor each other's little needs to like go from one thing to the other, not with like a transition in between, not just let's go. So I found that with like almost everything in that we would do, if it was a slow paced thing, we had to transition into turning, I don't know. It's just an interesting dynamic. So, okay. So going back to this idea of extroversion being kind of a preference in our society, mm-hmm. What can we do to encourage or strengthen the introverts and honor their value and their, what they have to contribute?
Yeah. So the first thing is understanding, like when we talked about how the brain just works differently. And if you keep that in mind with your child who prefers introversion, like, okay, they're whenever I say something to them, whenever something happens, whenever we're about to do something, they are using the back of their brain first. That's observing, that's reflecting, it's comparing to maybe past experiences, it's thinking about future, it's basically they're processing things right. before they're ready to act or do. And so that's a really important thing to keep in mind. So one thing you want to do is just wait when you ask them a question. Wait and maybe quiet everyone else in the family, right? If there's a child who prefers extroversion or who just, you know, even between my two children, they both have a preference for introversion, but my son is just much more, he's a lot more confident in what he has to say, which has to do with some other parts of his personality. Uh-huh. And so he tends to like steamroll over my daughter. And so having to say like, hey, can you pause for a minute? I want to hear what your sister has to say. And then everyone is quiet while we wait. And then if they pause in the middle of something, they're not done. They're thinking they may have more to say. And so just that wait time. And that's something they teach teachers too, right? Is that you need to give wait time in a classroom because some kids need more time. The extra kids are raising their hand right away. And it's like, wait, everyone wait. And then a few more hands will pop up and then the introverts will start to raise their hands. Mm-hmm. And then you call on someone, right? And so it's the same thing with our kids at home.
Wow. That's great. And so, okay, maybe back up a little bit. And how can we determine these personality traits in our kids?
Yeah. So let's really quick. I mean, probably most people have an idea of what introversion and extroversion is, but you know, maybe we should define it.
Yeah.
So it's really about people who prefer introversion. They prefer to be, and they get energy from being oriented to their inner world. So that's like the world of thoughts and ideas. Mm-hmm. And then people prefer extroversion, they prefer to be, and they get energy from being oriented to their outer world. And that doesn't necessarily mean people, but it can. So it could be people, things, activities.
Okay.
Right. And so, and it's really important to remember with all the Myers-Briggs preferences, but you know, we'll talk specifically about this one, that we can all do both and we all have to do both. And we probably get pleasure from both at different times, mm-hmm. but there's just one that's like more natural, that gives you more energy. And that if you had to do it all the time, it would be less tiring than if you had to do the other one all the time. Right. Like if I'm alone for a day, that feels a lot better than being around people in a noisy, crowded room for a whole day.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that sometimes I do like to be in a room full of noisy, crowded people, but that's going to exhaust me much faster than being by myself. There was one other thing I was going to say. Let's see if it comes back. Nope, lost it.
So is it mostly, it sounds like it's a lot of having to do with energy, like energy based. Is that?
Yeah, energy is one way to look at it. There can be other ways to look at it too, like just maybe like an awkwardness, more of an awkwardness in one space than another. Mm-hmm. You know, are you comfortable being thoughtful and reflective, or are you more comfortable interacting?
Interesting.
And it's some, oh, now I remember it popped. I really like to use the metaphor of handedness, like, which are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
And so like I'm right-handed, and that doesn't mean I can't use my left hand, but boy, if I'm writing an essay, I sure am not going to want to pick up that pencil with my left hand. I could probably do it if I broke my right hand and I had to use my left hand, I would probably, you know, get better at it, mm-hmm. but it's always going to be, even if I've been using it for like a couple of weeks, once my right hand's healed, I'm going to want to go back to that. And it's kind of the same with the introversion, extroversion. We have probably, as an introvert, I have worked my whole life on extroversion. I've gotten pretty good at it. Here I am doing this podcast with you. I put myself out there in the world. I actually did theater growing up. I did speech and debate too. And so I got really good at it. But at the end of the day, when I'm tired, like I'm just going to want to go back to my most comfortable way of being. I'm just going to want to go back to that dominant hand, the right hand, you know?
Yeah. 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 So that makes me wonder how much of this introversion, extroversion is nature versus nurture. Is it mostly, I mean, sounds like it's mostly nature, but how much is it, does it get influenced by nurture, the nurture side of things?
Yeah. Our Myers-Briggs preferences are inborn. They're either like from birth or from very, 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 very early. Uh-huh. And they don't And a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around this. They're like, I've changed. And it doesn't mean you don't change as a person. Right. It just means that like, if you're right-handed, you're always going to be right-handed. It's right. It doesn't mean you can't use your left hand. It doesn't mean you can't stretch to your extroverted side and build that more. And you may change how you show up as someone who prefers introversion, and whether you go through phases, like you said, you went through a phase where you were like, I want to try out this extroversion thing. And you had some fun with it. But at the end of the day, that still is more exhausting for you. That part is never going to change.
Okay. So that really begs the question then, why we're talking about this is being able to honor that side, that part, that personality in our kids, so that they know who they are, first of all, and they aren't exhausting this effort to try and be something that they're not. Mm-hmm. And so I love that this concept of that, because like, when we think about that with our family culture, if we're trying to force something in our personality, our kids, and then they're fighting against that, then we're going to lose trust. We're going to lose this connection that we want with our kids. And they're going to start earlier. I think, you know, at some point in our kids' life, we expect them to like kind of rebel. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think that it makes it more of a more, like it will happen if we aren't honoring who they are and allowing them to explore who they are,
yeah.
and figuring out who they are. So along the lines of, you know, honoring that personality in our kids, allowing our family culture and our the dynamics of our family culture to really bring out that the true character of our kids. Oh, I was going to say that when it sounded like when you were a kid and you were like, you know what, I'm going to scale back on all these activities. And that started to worry your mom. But I think knowing the kids that our kids and their personalities allows us to say, oh, they're just being kids. They're just learning about themselves, rather than turning that into a power struggle. And then you butt heads. And then next thing you know, your kids are like, you don't even care about me. Or you don't even know who I am because blah, blah, blah. You know, I, not that I had those kind of arguments with my parents, but I witnessed them a lot with my older siblings. And I did, of course, have some of those battles with my parents, but I think that those can be avoided, right? If we're just sitting down and honoring our kids and being willing to listen to them and help them find their true personalities.
Yeah. And you really,
less rebelling.
It really will affect their mental health too. Because if you think about it, if you're stretching out of your comfort zone all the time, that puts stress on you. What I like to tell my family is I use the 80-20 rule. So you should let your child spend 80% of their time in their natural place and 20% of the time stretching. And we do need to stretch. We do, yeah. We do need to go to that opposite side. We do need to learn how to be a well-rounded human being. But the difference is, are you living in that all the time, or are you allowed to show up as your most natural self? And so 80-20 is usually what I say.
Wow. So that,
should we go into, the list of how to determine whether
you're
introvert or extrovert?
Yes.
So this is just a list of behaviors you may notice most of the time, right? It's not like a general rule that your child is this way if they prefer introversion or is this way if they prefer extroversion, but most of the time that you'll see them showing up this way. And I always say, you know, before your child is able to cognitively themselves identify their Myers-Briggs preferences, we call it a best guess. So we're observing their behaviors and we're making a best guess when they're younger. When they're older, say 12 and up, they could definitely, you can talk it through with them and they can be like, oh no, yeah, this one is me or mm-hmm. that one's me. And before that, we call it a best guess. So with children who prefer introversion, you're going to see them, like we talked about before, thinking things through before they're speaking. There's going to be kind of a wait time. There's a lot of like, oh, they've just gone into their head, right?
Nice.
There's going to be a wait and watch before getting involved. So like, I know when I would bring my children to activities like gymnastics or something like that, especially if it's new, that it's going to be hard for them to just jump in and get involved right away. You know, my kids had to arrive early and watch and see, and maybe even just watch a class or two the first week or two before they're ready to participate. You may see them concentrate on just one thing or person at a time. So compared with extroverts who are probably going to bounce from different people and maybe want like a larger group of kids or like do lots of activities at once. And then with introversion, they tend to be more life specialists where they're interested in one or two topics very deeply versus a breadth. Mm-hmm. They might be referred to as quiet or shy by those who don't know them well, but if you know them well, that maybe doesn't ring as true, right? Like my son prefers introversion, but he is talking my ear off all the time, but he's not like that at school, mm-hmm. you know? And then, they can usually focus in on one game or toy for long periods of time. There's like this tendency to just focus in on one thing. And they are comfortable spending time playing alone. This may look different if you have an only child because they mm-hmm. all they get is playing alone. And so you may hear more asking to play with other people. And then they tend to hone in on one or two special best friends rather than being like the social butterfly with, you know, 20 different friends.
Yeah. That is a great list. Yeah. Okay. Continue. You look like.
And then, so that was the introversion list. And then I'll do the extroversion list. Mm-hmm. So your extroverted kid probably thinks out loud. So instead of like that silence before they respond, they start talking right away. And it's like the talking is the way that they think. So their thoughts might be not fully formed. They're fumbling. It sounds like it's like, blah, 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 you know, they tend to jump into new social situations. There's not that like waiting and watching. And this may be, it can vary based on different personality types too. Like if you have a child with S and J preferences, I mean, we're getting a lot into the letters. I realize that people probably don't know what this means, but then they might like a new situation still might, you know, hold them back. But in general, if there's like a social situation, they're usually going to jump right in. Mm-hmm. They like variety and action versus, you know, honing in on one thing like our introverted kids. Mm-hmm. They tend to be more expressive and enthusiastic. Like the reactions are, their facial expressions and their body just gets like, when they're excited, their whole body is like excited, you know? and they're more life generalists. Whereas we said the introverts were more specialists. Yeah. They're more life mm-hmm. generalists. So they may bounce from interest to interest, learn a little bit about everything rather than honing way in on one thing. Mm-hmm. They might be referred to as more talkative mm-hmm. than you're more shy. And then, they prefer to play with others than to play alone. And they tend to have lots of different playmates.
That's awesome. That is such a great list. And as you were talking through those, as you know, thinking about, okay, this is how I can honor my child, especially talking about their learning styles and things like that. If they like to specialize or generalize and things like that, mm-hmm. that's really exciting to me as a homeschool parent or just even in general, trying to, you know, think about what's going to serve my kids and their education and their development best, that not to try to force them into like with, if they are specialists, let them choose. Don't try to force them into something. And if they're a generalist, not try to make them pick one, you know, like allow them. I picture allowing my kids to go from, you know, get into something and then they're like, okay, now I'm interested. I'm just moving on to get into something else, you know? And it's like, okay, you know, not necessarily be like, wait, but we didn't cover everything in this, you know, there's so much more to learn. Like,
right.
No, it's okay. It's just, they'll come back to it, you know, if they're still interested in it later on. Yeah. So
yeah. And really, if you cool think idea about it, in life, we need the specialists and the generalists.
Yeah.
You know, and I think both are valid and important.
I think that that's exactly the whole point of this, right? Like being able to honor the individual qualities of everybody, that we all have a place and we all have worth and value and we have something to contribute. And so this whole concept of, you know, let's help our introverted kids that feel like, the extrovert kids are dominating and I don't get to speak my mind after I finally get my thoughts processed, you know, that this is a great way to consider how do we honor all of the individual personalities and qualities and gifts that all of our kids have and ourselves as parents too. Like I think because the issue that I see with this dominant culture that prefers extroversion is that sometimes we label introversion as negative, mm-hmm, or, you know, the opposite of these different personalities. And so what you just said, that we need specialists and generalists, they all have their place. It's the same thing with all of the personalities, is that to honor their place and allow them to magnify their strengths. And that's really powerful.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for children or adults who spend a lot of their time thinking and reflecting, and that when they do speak, when they do act, it's fully thought through. And they tend to show up in a very powerful way when they do show up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Sandra, this is great. I love having this conversation and talking about these things and thinking about, okay, this is how I can apply this. And, you know, thinking about the way we honor our kids. And, I just want to be able to ask one more question. If you were 10 times more brave, what would you do in your life? If you were 10 times more courageous, what would you do?
Oh man, that's tough. I probably, this is vulnerable to admit, but I probably would put a lot more money into what I'm doing and trying to grow bigger. That's admitting my own fear of failure here. Mm-hmm. Is that like, and it's been on the back of my mind, like I want to invest more in this and grow bigger faster, but I'm afraid
to. Mm-hmm. That's interesting when you bring that out, because it's like, okay, what are you going to do then? No. So the next question is, close your eyes for a moment, if you want to figuratively, and imagine you are living 30 years from now and you're sitting with your children or grandchildren, telling them the story of what you are about to do in the coming days, spending more money into this so that you can impact more people. What is the inspiring story that you're going to tell them?
Oh. You want me to answer that out loud, or am I just thinking about this?
Well, think about it for a second if you want. But yeah. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I guess I would tell them that, you know, it can be that it's hard to always see that future clearly, and you have to take the big risks to get the big payoffs.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for coming and sharing this. And you didn't need to spend any money to be here. So I'm grateful. No, I'm really grateful for your message. And I would acknowledge that, you know, you see yourself as an introvert, and I see myself as an introvert. I know how hard it can be to spread our message, but it's when you know it's your gift, or when you know you can help and serve and impact people, it's really a blessing. And I know that as you do that, you are going to impact a lot of people. And it's going to bless a lot of families. So thank you, Sandra, for your message.
Yeah, thank you.
So what's coming up next for you? What are you bringing to the world next?
Yeah, so I'm trying to just keep going with the podcast and cover new topics on there. I have a couple of downloads on my website if people want to check it out. There's one for determining whether your child prefers introversion or extroversion, like we just talked about in this episode. And then I have one for judging versus perceiving, which is the last of those letters. I plan to to do all of them. So there's a couple more coming. And then I really would like to have some more online, because I have the podcast and then I have, you know, people can work with me one-on-one. And I would like to expand to have more like quick guides that people can kind of download, and like, you know, like an instruction manual to your child. That's what I imagine. And like having an instruction manual for your child, maybe some online workshops and stuff like that. So, you know, definitely follow me if you're interested in that kind of stuff.
Yes, definitely. And where can we find you?
You can find me at familypersonalities.com, or you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is familypersonalities. I'm on Facebook too, but I honestly just don't have time for like multiple social media. Right. It's like my Instagram posts go directly there. And other than that, I don't do anything, but it's Family Personalities on everything. And the podcast is called Family Personalities.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sandra. Thank you for sharing your message. And for, I mean, this is, family personalities is something that's like, it's hard to tackle, I think, sometimes when people, when you see all the different 16 personalities or, you know, all those different things. But I'm grateful that you're helping us to simplify that and be able to get to know our kids so that we can honor them and their souls and their sweet spirits and bring out who they really are. And also to make that part of our family dynamics to strengthen our family culture. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I love what you're doing. I love the new format too. And keep on doing what you're doing. It was great.
Thank you. Glad you were able to tune in for this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Be sure to check out my next episode with Christine Owens, where we talk about how education is really powerful when you give your children power to control their education. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Please download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. Take a screenshot and tag me in a post about your experience with any questions you'd like me to answer on the show for a mention on the podcast. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Leadership Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember, Mother Teresa once said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.